This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Give me an update in the UFL, Sean.
It's 41-26. Columbus Aviators just scored. They were down 41-20. They went for the 3-point play. They fumbled again. I don't know how many times they fumbled. I think it's like five.
Fumble risky, maybe.
Defenders picked it up. I think you can return it for 3 points. Then 2 points. I'm unsure.
I think the return is 2 points.
Well, I know in normal football the return is 2 points, but Ryan, this is the United Football
League. I think returns for 2 or 3 point conversions are 2 points. I think or if you block the extra point and return it, it's worth 2 points. So I think that point value doesn't change.
Okay, so there you go. There's your official UFL update. You feeling? You hit looking good for the side. It's not a lock yet. Maybe Columbus backdoors this.
Yeah, that would be
any
crazy.
Thoughts on the total?
The scoring's out of control. So we'll see if this is if this continues. I said, surprising for two reasons. One, I thought DC had a good defense, which is now making me reevaluate my thoughts on St. Louis's offense, but doing a lot of transitive property stuff, but I think both offenses looked much better this week than they did previous. DC probably just a get right game. Columbus, I still don't know what to think about this team, and so I probably will show the unders will be dead after this week. We probably won't play them globally because I'm seeing some offense.
Last week I didn't see a lot of offense. I stayed away from all the totals.
You did. But last week I did not see a lot of good, competent offense.
Yeah.
A little bit more of that in this game and a lot of it on the ground. I mean, DC is running the ball at something to note from this one. Columbus is getting run. Then 2 weeks in a row now, Columbus has lost the line of scrimmage.
Yes. Their offensive line looks horrible. And
defensive line not that good.
And part of my handicap was DC is good at DC is good at creating turnovers. So that continues here, and hopefully we get the win and the cover. We'll be talking more United Football League later on the show with our buddy CJ Sullivan. But in the meantime, we have time to dust it off. Haven't done one of these in a while. Of course, everyone's favorite Real Men of DGen.
SGPN presents Real Men of Degens.
Real Men of Degens.
We salute you.
Eldrick Taunt Tiger Woods. That's right. Tiger Woods, fortunately involved in a one car rollover where he was apparently possibly intoxicated. He was arrested for a DUI after he refused a breathalyzer. And then later on this week, Ryan, video emerges of him walking away from the scene of the crime to make a phone call. As it turns out, he was calling, you guessed it, Donald Trump. That's right. And the cop was saying, hey, you got to stand near the vehicle here, buddy. And he goes, no big deal. I was just talking to the president. So we salute you, Tiger Woods.
And real quick, just to clean up something, he did not refuse a breathalyzer. He took a breathalyzer.
Oh, you're right.
Blew zeros.
You refused the urinalysis.
Refused to take a piss test, which, as someone who has had understood a reason why you might circumvent a piss test before, I wonder what he was might be guilty of.
Well, and then he had hydrocodone pills in his pocket, and I maybe related, maybe not. He has now flown to Zurich to enter a rehab facility.
Really? The Swiss?
Yes.
Are they good at rehabbing?
Well, they're good at rehabbing your taxes there with their financial
hiding money.
They're good at keeping secrets, I guess. So you went to Zurich.
What's going to make him feel better? Taking some pain pills while he lays on his safe of gold.
Yeah.
It's like Mr. Ducksworth.
Well, and then of course, all time meme. Now Tiger taking a knee. This meme, we have the photo here. It's gone viral. Everyone
Tiger's pretty jacked.
Yeah, no, he continues to be jacked the entire time. Everyone comparing this to the T-ball coach. What are some of your favorite memes you've seen of Tiger here, Ryan?
Well, I think just in general, any of the youth sports or like talk, basically getting down on a knee to talk to a child.
Yes.
Now, again, what's aided in this is one. Once you've seen the video, you also know the state that he's in. And so it gives you a little bit more depth. The glasses are just, he's literally wearing like I don't know how you describe these other than like the baseball bro.
Yeah.
Shades that like wrap all the way around your face, looking really intense. And he just got done not caring, not having a care in the world about the police officer trying to get him to do something because he was quote on the phone with the president.
How does that conversation go?
Now I also know when I've been in a situation where maybe my equilibrium is failing me a little bit and you have to do that thing to get grounded. And yeah. So I think what's happening here, I think Tiger, I mean, look, he had some serious issues with his back. He's enjoyed painkillers ever since. Clearly, what I don't understand
even before the injury,
before what I don't understand, you have Tiger Woods money.
Yes,
I just have a full time driver. It's not that expensive. It's not that expensive. How much money would you need to have, Sean, to have a full time or at least a driver when you're going anywhere that you're being driven?
Yeah, no. If I had Tiger Woods money, why not have him be your? Also, a lot of these guys, very successful people. You know, people that are very successful that have security, and the security guy also the driver. So why not? I mean, Tiger Woods probably has security. Probably should. You're a billionaire floating around like in the world. I'm sure people come up and annoy you all the time, or want to rob you or whatever. Why not have a security guy who's also your driver?
Yeah, I'll help you find the ladies also if you're, you know.
Yeah, what a little a gopher for everything, but a security and driver. You could get that, or you could get like a security driver guy that's pretty good for like 200K.
Now, what is your there were a lot of people that used Tiger getting into trouble again as a moment for them to stand up and show everyone that they're more mature than everyone else and have like a serious take on this. I'm going to expect that we have these types of run-ins with Tiger Woods every once in a while because he's not going to change.
Yeah, hopefully.
Unfortunately,
hope. I mean, again,
these guys—they don't change.
It well, that first crash that he had, where again, solo crash, where he flipped the car. He's very lucky to have not killed himself or anyone else. So, if that wasn't a wake up call, I don't know why this would be the wake up call.
Go look up Mickey Mantle. Go look. There's been recently. Well, go look up Brandon Ayuk. I mean,
I think these guys that are outliers. Physically, these gifted athletes think they're completely untouchable. And in some ways he's kind of right. Hey, I flipped my car the first time and I was fine. I'll do it again. And he didn't learn. So the bended knee reminds me of like, you know, day three of Vegas, wake up trying to get to the sportsbook. Oh, hold on. I got to just take a knee here real quick. Get a liquid IV going. This is definitely a hungover. If this was me, it's because of a crazy hangover.
No, it's not. It's the mix of the downer and the upper. So it's you've taken something to combat the hangover, and it's accelerating too fast.
Well,
and you're like, okay, I got to get back down.
Gambling angle, Ryan. Are we ever gonna have a chance to win money betting on Tiger Woods? Is he gonna make a run here in the Senior Tour at some point? And will we have some ability to cash on him? Will we ever cash another Tiger Woods ticket in our gambling careers?
No, nothing. I mean,
there was rumors, and this was also very funny. There was rumors that he might have tried to get back and get healthy in time to play in this year's Masters. Trump came out and said he's going to the Masters. He's not playing. So he leaked that story himself, but Is there any hope that we see not this year? Maybe. Do we ever see Tiger in a major again?
I mean, maybe as like the, well, I mean, Arnold Palmer was stroking it off the first tee until he was like,
I mean, eight, John Daly's still using that exemption card. Well,
that's the crazy thing, right? That's the angle that no one would have bet on in a million years, that John Daly better playing shape than Tiger Woods.
Right? Yes. What would you set the odds on that?
10 years ago, yeah. I would have, you would, a million to one.
Daly's a $200,000 dog.
And he got there. You know what it is? It's the classic, right? He's used to it. He's used to it. He's been doing it for a while.
So no
I think
there'll be, there's gotta be some comeback left, because golf is something you can play when you're older. The senior PGA, we see this, we saw Phil make a run late. Oh, I think he'll be
all right, maybe.
I mean, later age. Like, how old was Phil when he got second in the Masters there a couple of years ago?
Yeah, but Tiger's clearly doing stuff to his body that's gonna. Yeah. Like, Phil was never doing anything to his body to shorten his.
Well, he was a real meta degen for his financial irregularities.
I knew a guy. He knew a guy. What's the big problem with knowing it? I mean, even recently, Sean, I don't know how closely you follow some of the stuff that Phil was allegedly involved with in crypto. Phil's kind of an enemy of the crypto bros. That's something to look into. But yeah, no, I don't think we ever cash a ticket on Tiger unless that ticket is to miss a cut.
Ryan, and of course, we're brought to you by Edge Boost. Love me some Edge Boost. Great time to get in. Start using the Edge Boost card. This entire hour brought to you by Edge Boost. Real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365. I got an Edge Boost card. I love this thing. Love the 0.5% cash back. You're giving me money just for betting on sports. I'm in. Edgeboost.bet, promo code VSiN. First deposit up to $50. Edgeboost.bet, promo code VSiN. When we return, CJ Sullivan.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Happy Saturday to Nova Scotia. Hanging out with Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
You like to wish places happy days now.
Yeah, very stole the bit from you.
It's very interesting.
Kramer, I was just on the old X seeing the video clips of Gino. Gino Arrieta, the UConn head coach, getting into it with Dawn Staley, getting chippy. Apparently there's audio of Dawn saying, "I'll whoop his ass" or something. Man, things getting chippy in the women's Final Four there. Hopefully we get the same sort of intensity in the men's tourney. I mean, Dan Hurley, certainly good for a on-court confrontation. Hanging out with us, joining us on the line from the Bottom Line Bombs podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Mr. CJ Sullivan. CJ, what's happening?
What's up? Yeah, I was watching that as well. I had a few lady sweats. I had the lady Cox there, plus the points and the money line there. But yeah, you don't want to mess with Dawn Staley. That's a Philly girl. She will absolutely beat you.
Yes. Yeah, she will cut you. And,
Yeah,
sorry.
Right. No, you're right. Absolutely. And that's what Gino gets. That's enough coaching the women, for crying out loud. Take that over to the men. How long are you going to yell at college girls for crying out loud? I mean,
CJ, noticed a very fresh look, rocking a nice polo with the looks like a Masters hat. Looks a little different there. What are you rocking there?
Well, yeah, it's Masters Week here. It's got copyright in front. It's actually Penmar by the Sea, if you take a look at it there. The flag is there on the left coast there, but that's how you get around. Masters are very close to the chest with their merchandise, so we got a way around it here in beautiful California. You played that course out in Venice. Yeah, I don't know you're going to bring Dom on. I know he does great work, but you know, I know you can never have enough Masters plays there. But whatever you want to get into.
No, no, always love more Masters talk. CJ, you're good for a. I always like the first round leader because now, like these crazy long shots for you to get home after four rounds, it's unlikely. But a surprising dog in the first round leader market, that I feel like happens all the time. I feel like we're live for some long shots in the first round leader market. That's why I like playing them. Do you have any plays for the first round leader in the Masters?
I do. And you're exactly right, especially with the Masters, because you see all like the trends, like all Masters champions have to have these requirements, you know, blah, 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 because it's the one major that doesn't change course. That's one major that doesn't change courses every year. So these numbers actually do come into play. But when it comes to first round leader, anyone can throw a number up there. They just can't do it for 4 days. So you look at guys that can post scores here. A nice first round leader I like there is Jake Knapp. He's at 50-1 right now. He can put up a low round with anyone. He tied a course record at Houston in his final round last week. He once shot a 62 earlier this year by losing strokes by putting. That's how crazy it was. It was like only like about 300,000 rounds that I've done. Like that's how insane he can get by just putting up numbers. So Jake Knapp, 50-1, he could just throw up a dart, 61, 62. Will he last a whole weekend? Probably not, but that's the thing you want to look for. And also another one who I also do a long shot and outright, why not? He is a debutant. That's why I usually don't bank those things. But for a first round leader, Jacob Bridgman has just been an absolute machine monster this year. He's in great form. He is number one in the tour in putt stroke gained. He's finished no worse than tied for 18th in all eight of his events this year. I mean, he won the Genesis, so he's coming in great form. And like I said, he's the debutant, which, you know, it's usually a bad sign, but no one's won since Fuzzy Zeller in 79, I think, for the first time. But recently, Tony Finau, Zalatoris, Aberg, they all came in the top 10. So we don't care about that anyway. First round leader, Jacob Bridgman is 95-1 to win it. I think he's around 80-1 first round leader, and Jake Knapp 50-1 for my first round leaders.
I mean, I love these. Good handicap, CJ. Love some dart throws, some long shots, some pizza money, whatever you call it, because you get that sweat. You get the tradition unlike any other, downloading the Masters app, which is actually, it's like an awesome app that I use for 4 days and then immediately delete, but they do a great job. And it's just, especially if you get a little bit of weather, really the first round you can get off to a good start.
It is hilarious. Hey, you know, so I appreciate it cause it works well and you can get all the feeds, but better than another four letter networks app.
Oh yeah.
But it is just it's a great time of year. Also, I've already started reposting people who are just posting pictures of Augusta, a very nice golf course. As Dom mentioned, the bird sounds, I will inevitably with the algorithm, my algorithm, I will get the people talking about how the birds aren't real. And then,
They got caught one year, right? Creating bird noises. They created
pumping some extra noise in there.
Yeah. They had special effect, different bird noises they put in there for effect. And it got caught because some bird knower called in. He's like, they don't migrate down to Georgia, that thing. And
as far as the fake birds, I'd always thought that it was the TV broadcast adding them. But Dom, that we spoke to earlier, was saying he was there and it sounded like they actually pumped the bird noise in via speakers at the actual event, and then that is what the mics are catching.
Let's not put words in Dom's mouth, but he said he looked up, there were no birds,
and he heard bird noises. So that's what which to me that's more like diabolical. You're tricking everyone, even the people at the event.
I mean, this is the exact kind of place that would do that, though, right? This is a place that holds inside of those walls very near and dear, and so whatever. They sell food for cheap, so that I guess they can play fake bird noises.
Yeah, they won't let women in until like 1995, but they'll create the other birds in for ambiance.
Well, it was an exclusive club, CJ. They had a, you know, they only vote on their bylaws every 6 years. There are a lot of complicated topics there.
Okay, those are some fun first round leaders. And look at, you know, Corey Connors was up there in the mix last year. Some of these other guys that, you know, don't dominate the tournament, but they do give you a good round one. Again, very fun market. What else you like in the Masters card, CJ?
Yeah, and I should say Justin Rose, too. Justin Rose always seems to be the first-round leader, too. He's one of those guys that, why didn't I play Justin Rose? Like, he just always throws up a good number, though. But two outrights I like, I'll throw out there. They're pretty popular in the golf Twitter world, though. It's Cam Young at 25-1. It's not the best number. And Matt Fitzpatrick also at 25-1. His odds got cut in half the last month, probably. He got 3-1 to Valspar, but Fitzpatrick went from 22 to 5th ranked in the world. Cam Young is 3rd ranked in the world. Cam Young, especially, he was like our lone bright spot for the Ryder Cup out there in Bethel Page. He had a great ending with 25, and he kept it up. He's tied for 7th at Riviera, tied for 3rd at Bay Hill, and then he won at Sawgrass. So he is just like on fire. These are guys who are in their form, but not much course history. So Fitzpatrick and Cam Young, both 25-1, I think are great plays.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't had luck tailing Cam Young or trying to ride him. I picked the wrong times to hop on the Cam Young train. Kramer, you had any luck with these guys?
No. I was just thinking how none of these bets are as good as my Brooks Koepka parlay with the Seattle Seahawks at 87-1.
Come on.
I have a Fitzpatrick with a Jaguar AFC for 27 though.
Yeah, CJ's always got you beat. I mean, we should just do a we're gonna hire a forensic accountant, CJ, and open up your pending bets and get like 8 hours of content, digging around, seeing what you got there.
CJ's bet confessional.
Yeah, CJ, do you have any? Yes. Good time to make sure you get all your write offs in order here. Yeah, I know it's not fun, but do you have any chalk? Anyone on the top of the board that you think is a good play, even at lower price?
I do agree with Don there with John Rahm. I do like him. That's pretty much as low as I would go too. I think he's around 11-1. But I will give a play. I know we're up against it, as they say in the business. I'll give you a fun one for this weekend here. The warm up here, the Texas Open that's going on right now. You can do a live bet. And this is a guy we can all get behind here at SGPN. Rio Satsutsuni, I'll pronounce that probably incorrectly, the Japanese golfer. He is at 8-under right now. McIntyre's at 14-under. There's two rounds to go. You can still get him at 25-1, +200 for top five. He's a hot golfer. He's been great this year. He's 23. He's been crushing the tour. He's a DP World Tour player. He's one of those. He's the guy, if you remember, he does like a shot of water before every putt. And they said, why do you do that? He said it was sake. So then people thought he was still sake. You know, he's a funny guy. So then people think he was just getting hammered before, and it would calm his nerves. And he can putt. So the people are like, maybe he's drinking sake bombs. So they call him Sake Bomb. How do you not play a golfer who right now is one shot back for third place at 25-1?
You sold me on the sake bombs. When we return with CJ Sullivan, we're going to hang out. We're going to break down the rest of the week 2 UFL Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN. Sean Sack, the Money Green, with our partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Does seem like UCLA is handling Texas here. About 5 minutes to go, 10-point game. So for those sweating out the women's tournament.
Oh, yes. Hey, we're hanging out. We're going to talk a little UFL. But of course, we're down to the final stretch of college hoops. Great time to stay on top of every bet. And you can do that over at VSiN. That's right. VSiN.com/subscribe. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual subscription. I love the VSiN AI powered prop tools, the betting splits. There's just so much good stuff over on VSiN. Of course, 24/7 video, full show replays. If you're not a VSiN pro, you're a VSiN amateur, for Christ's sake. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get in today. and hanging out with us on the Progressive Guest Line, a man who is sweating out some lady bets, CJ Sullivan. CJ, what do you got going on in the women's Final Four here?
Yeah, I am. I am actually on the Lady Longhorns there, minus the two. And I don't want to do any misogynistic slander or anything like that. I'll just say it's a tough watch, that game. It was it's been pretty
well. It was a very low score, a bit of a rock fight early there in the final.
Yeah, you can call it a defensive battle. You can call it a lot of that. A lot of the doors must be open at that stadium because there's a lot of air balls. Winds were blowing by, and the layups.
But, you know, once they expand the field to 76 teams, that's when they'll clean up some of this offensive play.
Yeah, that should help because, you know, the other games, it's, you know, 2-3 and they're winning by 50 points. Like, how is there such a discrepancy? What's going on? And then Texas is one of them. Then once you watch it, you're like, oh God, this is why I don't watch it. This is why you just check the scores. Because it is. Anyway, I'll be on the under come Tuesday night.
CJ, hopefully you weren't on the under first game of the UFL week two. Defenders get it done 44-26. Kramer and I like the Defenders. Did you have, what were you on game one?
We were on DC Defenders there, a nice bounce back game. We gave that out, the UFL Gambling Podcast, which you could also catch with Colby Dent and J Mark. That was a much better offensive performance for DC. That's what we thought it was going to be. I do think there will be some points in a lot of these games this weekend. We got three games. We got one tomorrow night, one on Easter Sunday. No better way to celebrate Easter with the family than a beautiful UFL rivalry game. And then they go Maction style. We actually have a Tuesday night game coming up there on the weekend.
So yeah,
I'm excited for this league.
So what's your favorite plays of what's left here in UFL week two?
All right, I'll break down all three here. My least favorite one is the one tomorrow night. It's Louisville versus Orlando. The Kings going to the Storm. Two teams, you don't really know what's going on. Orlando has got a nice floor. They have a better coach, obviously, with Anthony Beck, and Chris Redmond is the coach for Louisville. They do have the worst home field advantage. The crowd, of all the stadiums last week, Orlando's was a little hit or miss. Even though they had DJ Khaled at halftime, you think it would have been going nuts there. I saw his performance, and for all these years, I still don't know what DJ Khaled does for a living, even though he has an occupation in his name. Like, he comes out and he's got another DJ behind him. Like, he's not even the DJ. Like, does he rap? No, he doesn't rap. He doesn't sing. He just announces the other people's songs they play, and he gets paid a lot of money. So good for him. But either way, Louisville, they played Birmingham tough in a home opener on last Friday night. Their defense looked good. Jason Bean, the quarterback, wasn't the worst. They lost a turnover battle 3-0. So if they can clean up that 3-0 turnovers, I think getting the 3.5 points is the way to go, because even though Orlando did look competent, their quarterback, Jack Plummer, he had good numbers, but he looks like a disaster waiting to happen. There was a lot of drop pick sixes, a lot of things going off there. A lot of the thing in UFL, if you look like, oh God, it could have gone either way very easily. So I think Louisville looks a tough defense. I think 3.5 is a little too much to be laying with this Orlando team, which isn't that great, even though they do have a more trustworthy coach.
I'm on the same page there with the Kings. Stallions Gamblers, CJ, what do you like there? And of course, yes. Speaking of UFL halftime, Gucci Mane did the halftime at the UFL Stallions game, and now it came out that Pooh Shiesty and an associate apparently robbed him, and he was involved in an incident. So thoughts and prayers for Gucci Mane, who apparently got a lot of his jewelry taken and had to sign a contract at gunpoint. The DOJ is investigating, but it wouldn't be the UFL if there wasn't some off the field drama surrounding these games as well.
No, and I'm sure that robber / kidnapper was kind of smart. He's like, I bet UFL pays him cash. There's no way they got a check to clear. So I bet they have that Gucci. This is a perfect time to hit up Gucci Mane. So shout out to him. That's a sharp robber over there. But anyway, the game, like I said, Easter Sunday, if you want to go back to the USFL rivalry, Colby Dance says it is. I don't know if these guys have any idea what that is. But Birmingham's laying 7.5. Houston looked absolutely horrendous. There was a lot of bad teams last week, but Houston took the cake. They looked like they weren't even, they couldn't even, you know, form, I mean, they couldn't even line up. They were forming, they were blown out of the water by Dallas. They gave up a record setting performance to a first time starting quarterback who did look good in Austin Reed, but still, I mean, Birmingham was the dynasty. Now they changed coaches. AJ McCarron is down there. So they took a step down, but you could tell the nucleus was still there. They had the ball for 38 minutes last week versus Louisville. Their defense was still solid. They still got the lineup there. Matt Corral, the quarterback, I trust him. I think Birmingham blows him. There's no, it's fade Houston until further notice. I mean, you just have to lay to 7.5 here with Birmingham. There's no other way to play this.
Now, CJ, any chance the Gamblers rally around their new, I don't even know what the animal is, some sort of a large rat.
Armadillo?
Is it an armadillo?
It makes sense.
Yeah, it's called Ace. I assume it's because of the gambling moniker. We like gambling. You're not worried about Ace rallying the Houston Gamblers fan base on Easter Sunday?
No, I'm not, though. I know you took some shots at him online there. The photo is a great photo yes. of Ace up there. I like Ace. He wore his jeans the way I do, straight up around the top of the waist. Make sure it doesn't sag down. Nice big belt buckle, you know. He's kind of got like an old man look to him, Ace. And then he was like, you know, posing with some cheerleaders and stuff there. I just like unveiling a mascot week two. Get them fired up. But I will say this, the games do look better because they are finally in soccer stadiums or in the city. This will be at Shell Energy in downtown Houston on Easter. But like I said, no, I don't think you're going to rally around Ace or Hunter Deckers or whoever the heck they throw out there.
And then we got the last game. We got Battlehawks Renegades. What do you make of this matchup, CJ? Battlehawks Renegades.
Well, this is a good game. Actually, this is the if you will, week one. These were the two best week one performances. Dallas looked great there with Austin Reed, formerly in the Chicago Bears quarterback room. You probably remember him from Hard Knocks when he sung that R&B song and everyone went crazy. He was the third string quarterback. Everyone liked him. And then he came up and he set a UFL record through for 376 yards and three touchdowns. And Tyler Vaughn went off. Rick Neuheisel just looked, you know, he's the head coach there. And that offense, I mean, these guys were wide open. The scheme looked good. So, Rick Neuheisel, by the way, was the special coordinator on the movie Point Break. He was the football like, counselor. He gave them like the information.
Oh, really?
Rick Neuheisel's name comes up in the credits in Point Break. Which
he looks like a guy who would be night. In Point Break.
I know, but he was like the consultant for. He was a consultant for the football scenes. You think Neuheisel would have told them, "Hey, there's a little hole in your script here. Your character Johnny Utah. I know he just won the Rose Bowl and he hurt his knee." I don't know why he would go for deep undercover work to the FBI the next year. You think you get some of the
that was always kind of a plot point. Like no one recognized right. the guy who played yeah. in arguably the biggest college football game. Yeah. None of these bank robbers watched any college football.
He's on every TV in the country. He's a handsome guy. His name's Johnny Utah for crying out loud. And the FBI hires him to go undercover to break up bank robbing surfers. I mean, you just want to
make it two Austin like, Reed,
Gina Toretta out there. Either way, the offense looked great. St. Louis's defense looked good, but they're also a little different in the road. I'm actually not going to take the side here. I just love the over in this game, 42.5. I think I see Dallas continuing to score. I just don't think St. Louis's defense is going to be the way they are where there's 30,000 people in the dome. You got Ricky Prohl out there, the head coach. We loved him on the sideline. He looked geeked out of his mind. He was on some –
I don't know if they test coaches for PEDs, but Ricky Prohl would not pass any sort of PED test for coaches. Yeah. He was yoked out of his mind.
He really was. So at 42.5, you got Austin Reed, Brandon Silvers, Greg Jennings Jr., Vaughns. I think there's gonna be a lot of points, a lot of yoked up. Then you get Ricky Prohl into Dallas. Who knows? I mean, who knows the circuit down there and the fast living that will be on a Tuesday night matching style. I just get a lot of points.
Always good. Always the weird day of the week, I feel like, is good for some overaction. Good times as always. Make sure you subscribe to the Bottom Line Bomb, CJ Sullivan, wherever you get your podcast. When we return, Kramer and I reveal our picks, UFL week two. More UFL action. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on Visa.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack and the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Seems like I might have mushed UCLA in the women's Final Four, Sean.
Well, I know our buddy man in the box is probably enjoying that because UCLA now only up 3. 18 seconds left to go. They got to inbound it. I think Texas was catching 3.5 points there.
No, other way. I think it was the other way around. I could be wrong. I'll double check the number.
Oh, UCLA was the favorite.
Yeah. No, Texas was the favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they, I mean, I think they're going to still need overtime if you're on that side of it.
Okay. But so we really need a miracle if we're on the Lady Longhorns there. Hey, you don't need a miracle to get involved in the action. It's Masters Week. Perfect time. If you're not on ProfitX, what are you waiting for? Love using ProfitX here in California, available in a bunch of states. New users get a sign up bonus up to $100 in bonus cash. All you got to do, use that promo code VSINMM. Next week, ProfitX is dropping their Masters of Your Domain contest. Of course, great reference to the old Seinfeld contest. Great episode, all timer. But of course, during the Masters, make one play of $50 or more on any Masters market, win or lose, and earn an entry to win a $1,000 golf prize of your choice. Download the ProfitX app. Use the promo code VSINMM. Make your first purchase, earn that bonus, and get in on the action at Augusta. Download ProfitX today and use promo code VSINMM. Kramer, what was the favorite? Who was favorite?
We have a little bit of a sweat here. Oh, I got distracted. I apologize. I got moved on to this game. But yeah, I believe I'm pulling up right now. I believe the number opened at 1.5. And I believe it closed close to 3.5.
So Texas was a 3.5 point favorite.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So need to get this to OT for our buddy, the laddie daddy, AKA CJ Sullivan, to get his Longhorn bet home. Kramer, let's break down our takes here on UFL week two. Let's get after it.
What do you got? All right. You want to start with the next game?
Sure.
All right. I think we had a lot of agreement. The Kings and the Storm are the next game. Now, I would circle Storm laying 3.5, maybe some fours out there. This is one of the games where I think you really do need to handicap the home edge. And right on social media this week, Rapoli, who is somehow taking over the league and trying to do the right thing, and
some sort of investor, seems to be doing a good job.
He's a St. John's guy as well. Very, as his X handle says, at Rapoli Stable, built brand builder. So he's doing a good job so far. But he did post, "Orlando, we need you." Then explains that there's a game happening and that tickets are as low as $15 and he'll give in a free beer.
It's a great,
and
that's
then
a
tags
great promo.
A whole bunch of UCF accounts and a whole bunch of other Orlando stuff. And so, but that was the takeaway from last week's affairs is that, you know, well, okay, St. Louis, good home edge, Louisville, good home edge, Orlando, bad. And at the same time, CJ laid it out there. The defense for Louisville was good. I was impressed enough by that. I think the offense I'll need to see something more from, but pretty shocked to see Orlando laying 3.5. I don't quite, other than having a coach that has coached before, I'm not really sure about this one, Sean. So I'm not going to go as far to say wrong team favored, but I certainly wouldn't lay it with Orlando. So plus the points, certainly going to be playing some money line here. We just missed out on a money line last week with our Kings. But I think this week they're very, very live.
Yeah. Orlando, if you're not watching the league, Orlando beat the Aviators. They were at home. So this is their second home game. They beat them 23-16. But again,
Aviators just got rolled by DC.
Yeah, I think that's more an indictment of how poor this Aviators team. And really, like, so if you're a good team, you got to beat the Aviators by more. Like, we just saw their offensive line get destroyed. I like Louisville Kings. Getting 3.5 before we watched tonight's game, but now that we saw another Aviators game, it makes me like Louisville even more. I think they're live on the money line. I think they played a pretty solid game there, and yeah, they blew it late with some turnovers. But to CJ's point, and we don't know, maybe they sit being down if he turns the ball over again. I'm not really that excited about Orlando's defense. And again, I think Louisville is going to be able to turn over Jack Plummer there. So I like Louisville 3.5, and I think they're live on the money line as well.
Plummer was very close to having a bad game.
Yeah,
I would say. And meanwhile, you can see why Bean could work. You can see the aspect of a great spring quarterback in there. And you mentioned it, but I think Louisville's defensive line is going to own this game. So yeah, take the points
and hopefully they take the money. And Bean is an athlete. Like, hopefully they
that's what I mean. You can see
he ran five times for 27 yards. I think there's a world that let him run more, get some more creative play calling, getting him out and open and let him scramble more.
I think it will come, but you can see it's in there. So, it's just puzzling to me that they would have Orlando laying so many points. Birmingham, Houston. Discuss this one. Houston, another city, no home edge. They're begging you to come to the game. Tickets are 50% off. They somehow got, again, this Rapoli character. He's got Ludacris doing videos promoting.
Luda.
It's a concert, so hopefully they can get people out. It is Easter Sunday at 3 p.m. on the West Coast. Birmingham laying 7.5, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, it never feels great laying a big number in the United Football League. However, the counter is, man, that gamblers team with Deckers looked really, really poor. And on top of it, it just seems like Birmingham, they're good for turnovers. They're going to be able to turn you over like they did with Jason Bean. And you give this Birmingham team some turnovers, I think they could roll. So yeah, it's crazy usually to lay 7.5, but I think Birmingham is a good team.
Breaking the rule, you want to take home dogs this big, except for in this case. One, to your point, we saw them play last week. They look like a horrible team. Birmingham, while AJ McCarron, you know, I like to joke about his failed attempt to be a politician as he ran for lieutenant governor of Alabama, he did not look like a head coach on the sideline, but I do think Birmingham has a strong enough roster, especially on the trenches, for it to not matter.
Well, and we've seen this in the league before, right? Where there's usually one or two teams that are just outright horrible.
Kevin Sumlin, 61 now. He last coached as a head coach, the Houston Gamblers, in 2022. To a 3-7 record where they won their last two games. So they were not good the entire season.
2022.
Yeah.
No, they were pretty bad.
USFL. And so I think we've seen Kevin Sumlin before. I don't expect a lot of positive change. And yeah, Birmingham lay it. This feels like the bloodbath of this week. So last one, again, they're kind of doing something smart here, playing a primetime Tuesday night game after March Madness is done. They did announce to the world that this is the first ever Tuesday night game in UFL history. But then they proceed to not play any more Tuesday night games the rest of the season. This is the only time they're doing it. So I don't know what the test was for, but good on them. As CJ said, this is the good matchup of the week. St. Louis and Dallas. They're playing this one in Frisco. They call themselves Dallas, but they play in Frisco. The Renegades are laying 3.5, 42.5 is the total. St. Louis is just the classic team where they have a home edge that you're going to want to take them all the time at home. The fact that they were dogs last week is crazy, but now they go on the road and they're playing a team that say what you will about Neuheisel and that, and what you think about how they scored their points last week. And you can take away, cause there was a pick six and whatever. Yeah. It did look like a competent offense, and I don't think we had a ton of competent offensive play last week. So I like Dallas at home here. I would admit the number is probably a little steep, but I have to see what St. Louis is going to look away from home before I back them.
I like St. Louis. Give me St. Louis plus 3.5. They just beat this Defenders team that we saw light up the scoreboard tonight. Their defense did very well. Yes, they're at home. But on the other side, Renegades, I think, are kind of inflated. They beat up against the punching bag that we believe the Houston Gamblers to be, winning by 19 points at home. And if you watch that game, it was just a lot of like broken tackles, bad angles. I think this Battlehawks defense that had 7 sacks, forced some turnovers. I think they're going to make this a game. I'll happily take the 3.5 points.
You're right, but they also, I think part of the reason their defense looked so bad was that the offense was creating space, period. So I'll lay it with Dallas. Good luck. Not Thank really. You. We're on some of the same sides.
Yes. Hey, Kramer, we got more action coming up, including, that's right, talk a little NFL draft props. Never too early to start building that NFL draft portfolio. All that much more. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.